Hello and welcome to this week's message from Valley Church. Catch up on recent messages and find out what's happening in the life of church by heading to valleychurch.eu or follow us on social media. Enjoy the message.
But it's great to be back. It is great to be back. We did, and we actually want to bring greetings. For those of you who've been here for a little while, we'll remember Bishop David and his wonderful wife, Yvonne. We popped in to see them, and they just wanted to say, look, can you pass the greeting on to your church for people that know us? They want to say that they love us and that they're praying for us. And it's so nice to know that we have these spiritual kind of elder statesmen praying for us and believing for all that's going on, and we wanted to let you know about that.
We did. We also had the opportunity to speak to a beautiful girl who you remember from Valley Lancaster and the whole 6 p.m. service, Kaylee, who's a Michigan girl. And it turns out she lives about 15 miles away from where the Bishop and Yvonne live. And so we had an amazing evening with them. And if you're watching, Kaylee, hi. It's so good to be back here and be able to say hello to you there. But, you know, it's a small world, isn't it? And you just, when you can connect people in the family of God, it is just so precious. And we just had that opportunity, and it was incredible just to have dinner together. And she sends her love back and basically gives everyone a big hug, because she's the nicest girl you've ever met. She is like, she's the real American, but she's like, just, you know, like if you saw somebody, you know, like the Miss Congeniality, I'm deviating a little bit, but it's okay.
Do you want to do the accent again?
I'll do it in a minute. So if you see Miss Congeniality, I don't know if that's okay to mention from the platform. I think we're okay with that one. Okay. And then they do like the whole Miss World thing, and she's like, Miss United States. Is that, I don't know if that's all right, but you know, like there's like, what would you want to do? It's always world peace. Well, that would be Kaylee, because she's just the most beautiful girl. She would want everyone to have world peace. So I deviate. I have a little bit of a laugh. It's fun and games, because God loves us all, and it's funny. We're back in church and it's awesome. And now Ed's going to bring it to the spiritual bit.
I don't really know what to say after all that, if I'm really, really honest, apart from you definitely deviated from the script.
It's just good to be back, right?
Is it good to be back?
Give me some feedback. Is it good to be back?
Anyway, it's Vision Sunday. Vision Sunday, which we love doing every year. I mean, for me personally, and I hope for those of you who've been with us for maybe from the beginning, it's great to remind ourselves about what God has called us to do. It's your very first time, and I know there's some people who have been here maybe a week or two, and just to let you know something of the heart and passion that God has started on this journey and still fires us up and still gets us excited every single week in all that God's done. Because remember, we are one part of God's amazing family, His amazing army that is there to win the lost for Jesus Christ. And God has called every church to love Him, to love life, to love each other, to be on mission to help people find Jesus. But each local congregation, each local church is called to do something, part of that. It would be ridiculous to think that we as a local church could do everything. I mean, that would just be crazy, right? We can't reach every person, every age group, every place in the world. We couldn't do it, but we're called to do something.
Very good.
And do something to the best of our ability. And we are going to talk about that. But if you're taking notes, I want you to write something at the top of your piece of paper. Because on this Vision Sunday, I just want to say that I believe that this is a season of opportunity. This is a season of opportunity. And as we unpack some of these things, I'm believing, and we're believing for each one of you, that God is going to give you opportunity like never before. And even though really we're going to talk mainly about church opportunity, about what God's going to give us as a family to do for Him, for His kingdom, for glory, I'm also believing for your personal lives. There's going to be a season of opportunity, maybe for career advancement. Maybe it's your season to have a child or another child. Not too many at once, though, please, team. But it's a season of blessing. It's going to be a season of opportunity for all of us to walk into. Because COVID, for all its problems, has kind of thrown everything up in the air, and everything's landing again. And people are open to new things. All of us are open to new things. Even I'm open to new things. For those of you who know me, I don't really like change. And I mentioned this morning, I was talking to Dave yesterday, and Dave said, Ed, I think we should change some things tomorrow. And he said, I know you don't like change. I said, Dave, I've been through COVID. COVID's like change every week or every other week or every month. So I'm now Mr. Changeable. Let me have it. It's going to be fine. But it's that kind of season, right? And change brings opportunity.
into each one of our lives, into our church life. So, Michelle, do you like to pray for us and then we'll get started?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that it is to know you, for the privilege it is to just be in your presence and to experience just more of who you are. God, day by day, week by week. And God, we thank you that you do have opportunities for us to walk into. God, we thank you that we're here for a purpose, that we're here for a reason. And that, God, is to bring people to yourselves. God, is to know more of who you are so that we can pass it on, not keep it to ourselves, but so that it can flow through us and out of us. And God, we pray that what we listen to today, what we hear today, God, will impact our souls, will impact our very beings, God, so that we are stronger, so that we are more courageous, God, so that there is more of you in our lives that we can then pass on to others. God, I thank you that you continually reveal yourself to us. God, may our eyes be open to your truth, and God, may we be open to the opportunities that are before us and the people that you put into our paths. So God, we just ask you to speak to us right now. God, help us to listen with open ears in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalm 78. It's over 15 years ago now that, actually almost 16 years ago, that we were actually asked to plant a church, and we were wondering what that looked like, what that meant. We'd been involved in youth work until then, and we were away in America, in Colorado, and I read Psalm 78, and we talked afterwards and really felt a call from this passage. I want to read it to you to remind us all of our foundations. It says this: O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonder he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God, would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. We've got a real call to build a generation, church, to empower a new generation. And open to everybody, but with a clear kind of heart of to reach the 18 to 30s. Now, obviously, I'm no longer 18 to 30. So, but all of us can be involved in the mission that God has given us. And along the way, we'll save all ages, youngers and olders, but with a passion, as it were, to make sure the next generation is always in mind. You know, it's been wonderful these last few years. We've had so many babies. But you know, my prayer is these babies, as they grow up, will discover who Jesus is at an early age. And that so many of them will never know a time when Jesus isn't part of their life. That will be their testimony. That will be their story. But more than that, that they will pass it on to their children. And when I'm kind of 6 feet under, they'll be teaching their children. And their children will still be teaching their children. We together, as a congregation, congregations will be helping these generations to continually reach and bless and teach the generations. They're physical children, but also their spiritual children as well as they go forward. And God has really blessed us. God has really blessed us. When we started, there was 30 of us, 10 children, some very small babies. There was a few teenagers. Hard to believe, but Rick was a teenager in those days. He really was. And there was a few adults knocking around, not quite 20 of us. And God used us and God blessed us. And now there's, on a weekend, about 400 of us, which is brilliant. And in this last season, God's been blessing us with brand new Christians. Even tonight, two new ones. Even tonight, two new ones. Growing congregations, new ventures, blessing our finances. God has been good to us.
He has in the last few weeks, and we've seen the youth work really gaining momentum. We've seen the youth work really gaining momentum. It's incredible. We've seen people become Christians week after week, and it's so exciting. It's so exciting. And we've started a Youth Connect at Lancaster, which is also epic. And we have a passion. I know Andy and Hannah want a Youth Connector, an Ignite Connector every service. And that is what we're heading for. That is what we're going towards. And, God is just doing incredible things. In our kids' work, we've, got a momentum builder in there. We've appointed Stephen as our kids' leader over all services. I know, he's epic, and he's very very excited. And they're filming something for Christmas tonight, right? I mean, how organized is that? But you know what? He's got such a vision and a passion for your kids. And, you know, for you mums and dads of little ones, you know, they're just going to grow up in such an incredible place. And they are going to be taught the word of God, you know, through all of their childhood. And I just think it's so amazing. And then we're called to be creators of a home for a new generation. So that's kind of the new generation bit. But what does a creators of home look like? Psalm 92, verse 12 and 13 says this. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. And you know what? We are called to build a church where people can be planted. Not just pop in and out, but to be planted. Because the Bible says, you know, not when you just attend, but when you're planted in the house of God, you'll flourish. And that's what we want. You know, the New Testament in 1 Peter 2 talks about us being a family of believers. We're a family of believers. So we're called to create a home, a place where people can find family, a place where people can be planted, a place where we can be nourished, where we can grow, and where we can help other people do the same. And that's what we are called to be. We're called to be a church that is creating a home to empower a new generation.
So that was our calling, and that's what God has done. And God has built and continues to build his kingdom. Why? Because he loves people. He loves his creation. Jason, in his giving, said, didn't he, that the Lord created everything and everything in it is his. And he loves. He loves you. He loves the unsaved. He loves that are far from God. He loves us. And never get tired of telling yourself that God loves you. Because it's true. You know, when nobody else loves you, when you don't think anybody else cares, remember, God loves you. God loved you enough to die for you. Remind yourself often, it will help you feel good about yourself, that God loves you. Somebody loves everybody. 2 Peter 3, verse 11, Peter writes that God hasn't finished everything off. Why? Because he longs that nobody will perish. He longs that everybody would find him. And this is our privilege and honor to do, to be part of God's loving plan to reach a world that's lost, without hope, without joy, and without eternity in their heart and mind. And it is an honor and privilege. And if you're a Christian, it's an honor and privilege to as it were, work with God, because God's doing the work with him to see God do amazing things. And you know, when we started, there was about 30 of us, if you include even the under ones. And everybody took their part. Everybody played their part. Even the children. I remember the little children. And I was reminded this morning, I saw Alex and her little one, Freddie. And Alex was wheeling one of the flight cases. And actually, Freddie was directing her where to go. And I remember when our children were small, and when the Street's children were small, when the Yates children were small, and they used to jump on the flight cases. And Andy would go far too fast down the corridors in the school and scare all the parents. But they would do their bits, and then they were enjoying it. We all did our part. And God has done something amazing.
Yeah, good.
Using those first 30 of us. And now there's 400 of us. Hey, church, what could we achieve? How much more could we do? So I want to ask you to put down in your notes this kind of first point. You know, because this is my belief, that God is going to give us so many opportunities, but we need to take hold of them. We need to take hold of them. God provides so many opportunities, but we need to take hold of them. During the pandemic, as we said before, everything kept changing. And one of the changes that the government said one day was, well, you can now meet, it's okay to meet, but only in groups of 30. And many churches went, well, that's ridiculous. How can you do services with 30, with masks on? And we said, no. The Bible says it's good and don't stop meeting together. And we said, well, we're allowed to meet now with masks on and no singing, but we can meet in 30s. And so we sat down. And we can't remember whether we did it on Zoom or with social distance with masks on anymore. But we sat down and said, well, let's try and make sure there's opportunity for every single person to attend a service if they want to. Obviously, it's everybody's choice if they want to. And we kind of figured out we needed 12. We never got to 12. We got to 9 different services one weekend to make sure that everybody had a chance, if they wanted to come and meet and worship God and bring their friends to discover who he was. And in that process,
we asked a number of brand new people to say, could you look after one of our services? Become, as it were, service pastors. They were, I quote, untrained but willing. And that definitely sums them up. They were untrained but willing. But it's amazing what God has done with those untrained but willing people. And I'd love to ask Rick to come up and just to share a bit of his story.
Hello. Ooh. Kicking the stool. Hello.
Hello, Rick. Everyone. So you've been part of this since, well, since you were small.
Yeah, you said we were an 18 to 30s church, and I was thinking, when we started, I was below that age limit, and I'm approaching the top of that age range
really?
Now. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow, you seem
to
be
old,
past it. Get to 30. Well, actually, if you get to 40, you're really past it. I looked at my brother there. He just turned 41 yesterday. There we go.
And we're so much younger than that, aren't we?
Well I still feel like 29, so I'm good. Yeah, my children still accuse me of being 29 sometimes. Actually, far younger than that. Anyway, it's the evening service. Rick, thinking back at all those years, because you've done kind of all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Do you know when we've asked you over the years to do something new, something fresh, how have you felt? And why did you say yes to yet another different thing?
I mean, it's definitely within my character just to say yes to stuff. Like, when I started coming to Valley and it started, I gave up, like, seeing my friends who were going to a different church at the time. And, like, I've always been that kind of person who steps out kind of quietly and a little bit behind the scenes. I've never made a big deal out of it. But to be honest, I just felt like I needed to say yes because I knew that what God would do with it. Like, you guys have a track record of asking big things, but the people that say yes, I see God move in their life. And the amount of people who have said yes and stepped out into what these guys believe and what we believe God has called them to do have flourished. Like, there's legitimate reasons not to say yes in lots of instances, but for the most part, if you say yes, God will move in that decision and honor you in that and allow you to flourish and grow.
Cool. And so you've got a track record of saying yes. Mm-hmm. You have literally done everything.
I have done a bit of everything. Yep.
And you're obviously service pastor now of the evening service, yep. Which is getting quite full.
You're a good bunch, you. 6 p.m. service.
But what has God shown you or done to you as you stepped out?
I mean, if I think back kind of 3 years or so, and I've talked a little bit about what's happened in my personal life when I've preached before, and I'm happy to talk about it kind of one-on-one. I don't think now's the time, but 3 years ago, I wouldn't have called myself a leader. I wouldn't have said I was a leader or a pastor or anything like that. I had some stuff going on, but over those 3 years, and especially over the past year or so, as I've been leading, just a real sense of God's hand of blessing on that area of my life, like people believing in me, people cheering me on, and just really feeling like God has put leadership on my life, as we believe he has in everybody. You know, the church we see says that we believe in releasing people into their God-given potential, into their God-given leadership. And for me, yeah, especially over the past year or so, just really feeling that leadership is something God calling me into more and more, and like leading up here and leading the 6 p.m.
Cool. And obviously God's blessed you and called you, and you feel that.
Yeah.
That anointed on you. But obviously, when you say yes, what happens to other people in the same space when you said yes?
I mean, you just, it's all about opportunity, like you're talking about. It opens up opportunity for other people to step into things. You know, when we ask people to step out and go to another location, well, we need people to step up in that location that's having those people go. Like when we stepped out and did Lancaster and North Preston, you feel the hit when it comes to our services here. But people always step up. More connect group leaders, more team leaders. Like if you go to Wildfire on a Friday night, some of those young leaders, like the potential that is in them. If you see some of the worship leaders, like I think of Izzy Street, man, she's better. Like, how old are you? Is 15? 50? Like, her worship leading ability. I'm not talking like she's a great singer technically, but I'm talking like her spiritual leadership of a room of people. Man, that just seeing other people step up into that is something that is so powerful, and I love to see it. Absolutely.
It is when people step up, it just opens the door for other people. Let's give Rick a massive hand. Thank you, Rick. There is a blessing to be found when we say yes to what God has asked us and called us to do. And we do, through it, bless other people. And it's actually, no, I won't say that, but it's amazing when you say yes to these kind of things.
It is. And during this kind of COVID season, the government has worked out you know, how to help a lot of the needs that we have. You know, they've been focusing on health, they've been focusing on finance and trying to, you know, the whole furlough scheme and everything like that. But you know what, in the middle of COVID, there's been a whole heap of other stuff going on as well, hasn't there? And, you know, as a church, then we are actually, you know, front and center to be able to help with some of the things that the government haven't been able to help with. And I was listening to a song this week, and it basically talks about how life goes on and 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 on. And it goes, and I was really fed up. I was like, I don't like this song. This is really depressing. So I was like, can we turn this song off, please? And it was this morning that I realized that, do you know what? It comes from the Bible. You might go like, no, it doesn't, Michelle. That's a really heathen song. And it probably is. Because actually it isn't about the answer, but it is about the condition of the state of our hearts. And the writer to Ecclesiastes says, in Ecclesiastes 2, so I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish, yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor. Basically, it's going on and on and on and on. And it says, what do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. And, you know, there's a whole heap of people. Maybe you're feeling like that here. Maybe you're even today feeling like, that's what I feel like, Michelle. I feel like my life is just going on and on and on, and I don't know where it's going. And you know what? We try and fill it with all kinds of things, don't we? And we put things in to try and mask the way that we're feeling. And it might be, you know, binge watching Netflix. It might be, you know, it might be drink. It might be just trying to fill it with other people. There's so many things that we try and put in our lives to try and fill this gap. And, you know, and the government can't fill it with all the things that they can try and do. But, you know, there is an answer. There is an answer to this meaningless of life. There is an answer to this hopelessness and this feeling of like there's nothing there. And the answer we've experienced tonight, the answer is the power of God. The answer is the fact that there is a God who loves us, who has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And, you know, God, if you're here tonight and you don't know that, God wants you to know that. He doesn't want you to keep going back to those self-destructive habits. He doesn't want you to keep going into those dark places. God is saying, I am here. You know, will you even allow me to come into your life? Will you take down the barriers that you've put up? And will you actually allow me to speak into your life some truth and some life and some hope? And, you know, as a church, we are perfectly placed to be able to do that for people. Because God has put something within us. He's put his spirit within us, and he wants us to share it. And we can do that in many different ways. And we have a coffee shop here because we recognize that, you know, people going to a coffee shop, they'll encounter, you know, people who know God, and they'll go like, what, you know, tell me more about what's going on here. But we can do it in so many other parts of our lives. We can just do it by being part of a community and inviting people into our homes. So I'm going to invite Pastors Andy and Christy up, and they are going to share a little bit about how they do this in their home.
That was confusing. You went different ways.
We didn't quite know what to do.
No, you didn't organize that very well, did you, really? No, not really. For those of you who don't know, if you're especially online, Andy is my brother, which makes Chrissy my sister-in-law. And Andy's been part of church here since we started. It's been kind of my right-hand soldier in the fight, along with some of the other guys around here. They've done all sorts of roles. Chrissy made a decision here, I think, a while ago. How long ago now? 2010, 12 years ago. These two have served God, served the church here with all their heart and soul for the last, well, for Andy for the last almost 15 years, and Chrissy for the last 12. They've done all sorts of things. They planted Lancaster, which David Gnomes are now wonderfully doing well. That's great. And they're just taking over the North Preston service pastor leadership. And, you have a massive heart for something about your home. Yeah. What's that? Yeah, we do. I mean, it's like Jason said, everything we have is God's. So everything that we own is not really ours, it's God's. So we want to use it for God. So we've always had a heart for using our home to welcome people into. We have people to stay, you know, conferences and that kind of stuff. We've got some of the Lancaster guys coming to stay for Sisterhood, which we cannot wait to have you. But we want our home. And we decided for Christmas as well, when we started having Christmases at home rather than going to family, that we wanted to have another seat at the table always there. We've always just wanted to open it up. So, yeah, that's just our heart for our home.
Yeah, I mean, I had a massive heart, and it's been amazing to see all that you've done. But this Christmas, coffee shop and your heart collided. How come?
Yeah, so obviously we hear a lot of different stories throughout the staff and the team about different people that come into the coffee shop, and they have our regulars that everyone knows and kind of looks after. And there was one particular regular who got into a conversation with Benny, wherever Benny is. Hi, Benny. And Benny's my brother. And so they'd said that they were going to be on their own for Christmas. They've got no longer their wife's no longer with them, and their children live in Spain. And so he was like, yeah, I'm just on my own. And Benny thought, oh, it'd be really good to ask him, but it's not really ours. So, you know, he'd mentioned it to my mum, and my mum had thought, oh, it'd be really good to invite him, but it's not at ours. And as soon as I heard about it, I was like, oh, it'd be really good to invite him, but what do you think? And he was like, it'd be really good to invite him, let's invite him. And so we invited him, even though we'd never actually met him until he turned up on Christmas Day. Yeah, so we were like, hello, welcome to our home, Merry Christmas. And it was just awesome, and it was so nice to have him with us. He just was super chill all day, and he just chipped in every now and again, didn't he? And we'd bought some presents. Every year we kind of buy extra presents just in case we have someone, so that we would be able to make sure that they're, you know, it's not awkward when everyone's opening their presents. And it was just so good to have him with us. It was really, we were more blessed, I think, than he was. So yeah, it was good.
Excellent. Thanks, guys. For all that, you're going separate ways again. We just wanted to highlight that because, you know, God uses like things through church, but he also uses things in our private life to build his kingdom. And now we're talking about opportunities. God will give you opportunities both through church and through what you do at home if you'll be open to him. We just want to talk a little bit. This is kind of the second area, if you're taking notes, think kind of opportunities that God is going to give us as a church. We just want to speak into that for a few minutes. Because we are in a period where God is moving. I mean, if he didn't convince you before you turned up tonight, I hope you're convinced now that God's Spirit is active and well in our church. And in our church family, which means he's actively and well in your life. And we're believing this season that what we've seen so far will just be the tip of an iceberg of what God can do. Remember, you know, sometimes we think we've done quite well, but there's 67 million people in our country, most of who don't know Jesus yet. We could be a church of 100,000, but we'd still only be scratching the surface of the need of this country. We could have 10 churches of 100,000, and there'd still be a huge need. And so let's always remember that we're only just beginning. And I don't know about you, I'm not sure I have a faith yet for 100,000 church, but I have a faith for a lot. But let's believe and press in, believe God, the future's going to be better and more than what we've seen before. And for those of you who have been here for a while, know that we talk about buildings from time to time. But we need to really pray hard in this season of opportunity for buildings. Buildings to enable us to grow. So we need buildings that are big enough for us to expand into. We need buildings. Why? So we can have a continual presence in a community, so they know we're there for them, and so that we can do events and groups in the week, and so that we can make an impact in different communities. Be it Lancaster, who need extra space, particularly for the youth work and for the kids' work. It'd be great to have more rooms for their children on a Sunday, be able to do youth work on a Friday, and all things like that. It'd be great, actually, to have a bigger evening venue, because we're kind of filling up. And we desire that there be a building big enough where all the different sites, all the different locations can gather every Sunday night, however many hundred,
hundreds or thousands, we become where we can come and gather and celebrate the goodness of God. And we just wanted to let you know that we are looking at venues. We have some spies out there who are looking for venues for us. We actually made an offer on one a few weeks ago. We've not heard back. We're not very optimistic because the offer was quite low. But we did make an offer on some buildings. We are pushing. But yeah. What we need you to stand with us for prayer. Yeah. We need miracles. Remember when we got this building, the landlord said we're going to have it for free for a season. We had it for free for almost 2.5 years. So prayer works. Belief works. God can move mountains. We've just been singing about it. So let's pray and believe, because buildings need to be part of our opportunity in this next season.
Yeah, the other opportunity that we have really on our doorstep is online. And so I'm going to invite Pastors Dave and Kat to put their online stuff down and come and join me on the platform. Let's give them a clap. Because if you're in the room, then you don't always see what these guys are doing because they're sat at the back. But if you were online, they're there chatting to you the whole way through the service and encouraging you and involving you and really creating community online, aren't you? Which is amazing. Yeah. So what is church online?
Well, church online, what is church online? I don't know. What is it? It is. It's like a shop window, isn't it? It's like people who are curious about church can't get to a physical service. They can go online. They can experience some of what church is like. Obviously, we don't want people to stay online, really, permanently. So we believe that everybody should be on a journey to becoming, you know, everything that God wants them to be. So we'd love for people to experience church online and eventually get to a physical gathering. Obviously, if they're in this area, there's lots of services going on. If they're not from this area, then the hope and prayer is that they can make their own community somewhere, gather together and become part of Valley Church, maybe somewhere else.
So good.
Amazing. So what is the vision for online?
We do this all the time. I think, you know, it is just that, you know, it, like Dave's already said, it's about growing God's kingdom. It's about providing a place where people can meet and join a community if they can't actually physically be in the room. Like now, you know, there's around 50 people joining you guys online who are leaning in, who are praying, who are, you know, we're able to pray with, we're able to encourage. We've seen people raising their hand and giving their lives over to God and starting that journey. And we know, again, we've seen people who, I think the biggest vision is that they're able to see what church is like, maybe, and then they're able to actually come. So they're able to say, like, you know, we'll say, we'd love to meet you in the coffee shop. So come, they know our faces. And we've had people that then have come, like we had a couple who were saying, leading up to Heart and Soul, and they were saying, oh, we just want to be in the room. And then I was like, just come and I'll meet you in the coffee shop. And I don't know what you look like, but you know what I look like. And they did just that. And they came to Heart and Soul and they came straight up. And it was like, it's like I knew them because we were like hugging and saying, hi, you know, because we've had this conversation. And I'm so excited. I absolutely love it. There's a great group of people who are desperate to be here as well. Yeah.
Amazing. Anything else you want to say?
Well, just tonight, I mean, as an example, we've got a group of people who have hired a room in a venue somewhere and are watching right now. So say hi.
Hey. Because and they've had people come for the first time and join them. So
And also as well, we had a baptism service a few months ago, and it was amazing that people could invite family and friends from around the world to watch them getting baptized. So there's so many opportunities for church online.
Amazing. Thanks, guys. Let's give them a round of applause. So incredible. You know, it has been incredible, especially in the COVID season, as people have just tuned in online and had a glimpse of what church can be because they couldn't be in the room, and then just to actually find Jesus either in that time or after it. And thanks, guys. We appreciate all you're doing, and it is so good to have you guys online with us.
Indeed it is. And we also believe in worship. And we love our team. The team tonight, Melissa and Jonathan and guys, thank you so much. You led us so beautifully into the presence of God. And we want that sound to echo around the world. Mm-hmm. And Jack and Claire, who look after our creative, have prepared a short video for us to share something with us.
church for any length of time, you know that we have an incredible and dedicated worship team.
Yep, what you might not know is that they have been working really hard over the last year or so writing their own songs.
We share the vision with our senior pastors, Ed and Michelle, that this church will be a place where the sound of the house is created, championed, and set free to echo around the world.
Yeah, and in 2017, Valley Worship released their first album, This Is Why, and we're musicians, right? Practice makes perfect, and so we are pressing ahead. We're believing that we're going to go from strength to strength, and we are very excited to be working on our next project.
We know that people have been powerfully impacted by our music in the past, and in particular, one of our songs from the last album has been downloaded and used in various churches across the globe.
Yep, it has, but we are looking ahead to a time where not just one or two of our songs would have influence and impact, but a time that we will be known for our music.
And it all starts with you.
Yes, it does. Our team are working really hard, they're really busy workshopping and recording songs between now and April, when we hope to start introducing this year's EP to you. We are so excited, and we are going to record it live at Valley Conference on the 26th of June, so don't miss it.
It's going to be amazing, and if you're sat there going, I didn't know about this, I feel like I missed out, you haven't. You can still send us song ideas, lyrics, come get involved in the creative team. It's going to be amazing. We want this to continue way after this EP. This EP is the next step for us, but there is more to come.
Yes, there is. So please be praying with us. We're so excited. We can't wait to introduce these songs to you. And yeah, roll on 26th of June.
So the EP is actually happening on the 26th of June, and it's not too late if you have a song or a tune or a lyric to don't talk to Jack and Claire, they're here on the front row, and or get involved in the creative side, the technical side of our creative. And there is lots of amazing opportunities for each and every one of us. There's a saying that church is not built on the sacrifice of the few, it's built on the sacrifice of the many, and it is. Mm-hmm. Each one of you, if you love Jesus, God has gifted you with gifts and skills that he has given you, yes, to bless you and to bless your communities and the places that you work, but also to bless the local church. In fact, you could argue it's given particularly to bless the local church. Perhaps that's the primary, the primary place that we're supposed to use our gifts and skills. Why? Because building the kingdom of God is the only thing that lasts forever in our life. And we want to encourage you to make sure that you're involved. We believe on Sunday services. Mm-hmm. Can you serve somewhere on a Sunday service, on a kids team or a youth team, the worship team? Could you serve on a service team and prepare something? I was at Stockport this afternoon sharing that sometimes the most insignificant jobs actually have the biggest impact. And, you know, it's often if there's somebody new, if I get around to it and there's been for a few weeks, I say, so, you know, what's the thing you like the best about Valley Church? You know, why have you stayed? And, you know, I like to think I can preach and speak, and I know Pastor Dave does, and you kind of want them to say, it's a speaking. Speaking's awesome. It's true, isn't it, Dave? We'd love them to say, it was your message, Pastor Dave. It created, you know, it caused something in me, and but I've never heard that yet, unfortunately. And then we think, oh, the worship's great. And I have actually heard people say the worship's great, so that's good. But you know what I hear the most? The first friendly face they meet. Often the person may be on the street with a foamy hand, pointing, smiling, engaged, encouraging, or the person on the door, hand out, great to see you, so glad you came, thanks so much. That's what they remember. They remember the welcome. They remember, and each job that we do, each person that finds Jesus is a success for Jesus, but for each one of us. And that's why I believe volunteering on a Sunday is so great. But also as connect groups,
We love our Connect groups, a place where we get discipled and cared for. And during COVID, haven't our Connect groups been amazing? Of keeping us connected in families while we've been isolated. It has been amazing. And please do join one if you haven't done yet. But, you know, maybe for some of you, this Vision Sunday, you know, years ago, God had a calling in your life to lead something, maybe to lead a small group. Maybe God's calling you again to lead a small group to volunteer in. Come and find one of the pastors, come and find Rick, who was just here before, and he'll kind of help you. But those are things. And I also want to encourage you maybe to volunteer on one of our special events. And we ran Bonfire this time. Bonfire was crazy. And we had so many visitors, so many guests coming. I kind of went around as many as I could. And we had a pizza van, and hopefully there's a picture coming up of the pizza van in a bit. And they had 150 pizzas to sell. And they promised me that I would get the last one. That's why they said, Ed, we'll make sure you get the last one. So I came up towards the end of the evening and said, you know, leant on the counter, expecting. And guess what they said? I'm really sorry, we sold it. But such was the amount of people there, it was a real blessing. I didn't mind it being sold, really. And my wife pointed out it was probably a good thing, because I don't need any extra food. Christmas market. But why don't you, from time to time, volunteer the special events and allow new people to come and encounter God through your life for the very first time?
Yeah, and the third part of Vision Sunday is really talking about being a blessing to our world. Being a blessing to our world. Acts 1 verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And this was like a commissioning of the disciples, but this is our commission too. We're called to reach, you know, our locality, but then also to go out to the ends of the earth. And the way that we do that at Valley Church is through incredible partners. We have got incredible partners that are in Chile, in Brazil, in India, as well as locally. And you remember at Christmas, we had the offering for Compassion, and we had like a shopping list of things that they would like. Well, with the money that we gave, we were able to bless them with an air conditioning unit, a refrigerator, and bathroom renovations. And these were three big impactful things into some of the projects that the children that we sponsor through Compassion are attending regularly, day in, day out. And we've been able to bless them with these things. So a massive thank you to you if you gave into that. But I'm going to invite Han to come up and join me on the platform, because she's awesome. But a big part of what we do is we actually don't just support people on the other side of the world, but we actively go. So we don't just send money. We actually want to see what's going on. We want to see how they're using our finance, but we want to build a relationship with them. So Han, you absolutely love going on mission trips, don't you?
I do, yeah.
So why?
I believe that God has called me to go on mission trips. I believe that he's told me to fly. And so every opportunity that's come up with you guys, I've bitten your hand off, basically, haven't I? I just absolutely love it. You get to experience God's love and realise that you're not just part of a church family here, you're part of the global church, and you get to go and experience how he's moving elsewhere. Yeah.
So where have you been?
Bulgaria, I've been to Brazil twice, and India.
And you going anywhere this year?
It's a social subject, that's shell.
Oh, is it?
I really want to go to Chile, and it's come up again, it's stirred my heart again, but we've got a wedding to pay for this year, so we're not,
I
really
know
want
that.
To.
Oh, okay, sure. Sorry, Han.
Pardon?
It could just be your honeymoon, guys. It'd be fine.
Yeah, what a great honeymoon. Go to Chile for your honeymoon. Like, where else would you want to go?
We're talking about it again, aren't we?
No pressure, mate, but God told her to fly. Oh, bless you.
Yeah.
Sorry, darling. But I just love it. We had a brilliant time in Brazil, and Ed would argue that you had a better time in India.
We had a much better time in India.
You know, it is just amazing.
I couldn't possibly choose.
No, absolutely not. But we do love to go out and to see what God is doing in these places. But it does something in us as well as what we see. You know, what kind of thing has it done in your kind of own life?
It just gives you, it just puts things into perspective. So I'm a social worker, I'm passionate about social justice, and to meet social workers in Brazil, in one of the most dangerous cities in the world, and see how God is helping them to help people. Like, they're in a city where the police won't even go to places, like there's gang crime, there's all sorts of stuff going on. But because they work for Compassion, they're protected, like God's right there with them, and they don't have what we have over here, but they're so content because they have such a deep relationship with God, and I always learn something new about him and deepen my relationship and have a great laugh and build friendships whilst you're there as well.
That's amazing. And what was it like to first meet your child?
Oh my goodness, it's like a video, isn't it, where I'm just sobbing. All week I didn't stop crying. It was just amazing. And that deepens your relationship with your Compassion Children as well. When you're writing, you can, you know, just love on them. It's awesome.
Amazing. Obviously, it's Vision Sunday today. How does this all link into the vision of who we are at Valley, you know, and kind of what we say, who we say we stand for?
Yeah, it's absolutely embedded in the vision. It's in the church we see. Obviously, we know that we're called to empower a new generation, which is what the partners do so well with the children. Like so many stories of compassion, of the kids have gone through the projects and the adults, and then they're going back in to teach the next generation of kids. So you get to experience that. And also, it's in the church we see. It's what we stand for, where it says, I remembered it so well this morning. No, I can do it.
You don't want prompting?
No. It says, together we will embark on adventures to build the kingdom of God, to transform lives in families, communities, cities, and nations for his glory.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Han. And if you are interested in that side of the church, then please, please come and chat to Han at the end. Please feel free to chat to me or any of the team that have been up here. Like, we would just love to let you know what's going on and see how you can get involved.
Thank you, Hannah. She does love her mission trips. And we hope we haven't spoiled your honeymoon, Rick. It's not the intention at all. Anyway, God has given us so many opportunities. And I'm believing this is the season of opportunities for you in your life. Perhaps some, like I said before, some dreams, some homes you had many years ago that God is stirring again in your life that God can do. Some of you younger ones were believing that God will put dreams and visions and passions of things that you can achieve, ministries that you can do in this season of opportunity. God loves us. God loves the world, and he wants to build our community. And I just want to finish by saying there's three things I want you to do. Three things you want to do. Write them down if you've got your book. The first one is this. Ask God to open your eyes to opportunity. See, God creates opportunity for every single one of us. For every single one of his children, his believers, he's going to open opportunity up for you. Why? Because he wants to do you, God, but he wants to use you to bless a new God in other people's lives. Could be at work, could be at home. It definitely will be in church somewhere. But ask God to open your eyes. Maybe every morning, just pray a simple prayer. As you're brushing your teeth, if you do brush your teeth in the morning, or having breakfast, having a coffee, whatever it is, just say, God, help me to just recognize the opportunities today that I may see them. Second thing is this. Say yes. Say yes to the opportunity that God gives you, that you see. Have a go. Have a go. Don't be somebody who says no. I know, as Rick said, there are legitimate reasons occasionally, but say yes. Risk things. Risk your reputation. Risk some finance. Risk something. Say yes to what God has given you to do. Risk a bit of vulnerability in your life. You know, people need to see your heart sometimes to truly connect with Jesus. Some people need to say that you're willing to risk some of your finance to truly connect with Jesus. Say yes. And then finally, ask God to guide you as you say yes. I heard this illustration many, many years ago, but it still will always be true, you know. A ship can only be steered when it's moving. It has to be moving to be steered. And your life, God will steer it if you're moving. If you're saying yes to him, he can move it. He can steer you into one direction to another. He can close a door and open another one. If you're stuck in the port saying no to everything, trust me, there's no way that you're going to discover God's opportunities and God's purpose and fulfillment in your life. So ask God to guide you as you look for opportunities, as you see what God's given you, as you say yes. I always believe, actually, that God will close the door if it's supposed to be no. If you have an opportunity to say, God, I'll do whatever, then God will close the door as he guides you into the ways that he wants. So, church, we have momentum. We're seeing people saved every weekend. God is doing something special in our midst. I do believe the best is yet to come. I really do, in this season for opportunity. I want to pray for you. Now I'm going to hand back to Dave. He'll then take us to the end of the service. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father,
that you give us opportunities. Why? Because you love us and want to help us enjoy the blessing of serving you. Father, because you love others and want us to bless them in your name. So Father, I pray, help each one of us to be open, to be willing to see the opportunities that you're going to give us in the days, weeks, months, and even years ahead. Father, help us to say yes. Help us to overcome our natural fear of doing things that are different, for stepping out into the unknown, for doing things that are changeful in our lives, for risking who we are, maybe our finances, maybe other things. God, help us to say yes as we see the opportunity that you put before us. And then God, give us ears to hear that you direct us. Father, oh Father, we want to be moving spiritual boats that you can direct and guide, that we may plow a furrow and see many, many people won for you. Lives transformed, lives healed, lives restored, lives empowered, so they may reach their full potential in you. Father, we pray and give ourselves to this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this message. If you've been impacted by it and would like to respond by choosing to follow Jesus, we'd love to help you to do that. One of our pastors would love to be in touch with you. Why not email response@valleychurch.eu or head to valleychurch.eu/next-steps to discover more. We're so excited for your future. Be blessed.